Good morning and welcome to worship on this Easter Sunday, the 12th of April. I want to welcome you, whoever you are and wherever you're listening from, as you join us this morning for our celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Before we worship together, just a few announcements to share with you. First of all, our new phone line service has been a great success and has allowed us to connect with even more of our members in Railway Street. A reminder again, that number is 028-9244-8979. Please share that number with others. When you ring that number, you'll receive a welcome message, and then after a few seconds, you'll hear our latest service. It's one of those ironies of the current lockdown that with everyone in Lisburn this Easter, we probably have our biggest congregation for Easter in many years. And yet I can't even get to enjoy seeing that today. But I look forward more and more to the first Sunday when we'll be able to meet together again. My thanks to Stephen Woods for his excellent messages on Thursday and Friday evening during Holy Week. My thanks too to all who are producing material each week for Beginners Church, Kids Church and Youth Church. Let's keep in touch with each other over the rest of these holiday days. It's been lovely as I've been phoning around members of Railway Street, hearing of how the church family are keeping in touch and seeking to support and encourage one another through this challenging time. Once again, if anyone needs any practical help with prescriptions or groceries, or if anybody just wants to talk, please get in touch by emailing hello@railwaystreet.org or calling 074-035-23526. We have volunteers who are ready and willing to help. Please continue to let me know if any member of your family is admitted into hospital. And once again, we send our love and prayers to all our members who are designated as essential workers, and in particular, those who are at work in our health service. Let's worship God together. The Apostle Peter writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you." Let's pray together.
Let us pray. Lord of cross, grave and empty tomb, I can't ever remember an Easter quite like this one. Encircled with darkness and overshadowed by death, eerily quiet and filled with inactivity, expectant of your living presence, but not in the usual recognisable rhythms and readings of worship. And yet when I stop to think of it, how like that first Easter of cross, grave and empty tomb, this extraordinary Easter in the enveloping gloom, turn our gaze again to that first Good Friday, to see Jesus suffering and dying for the sinful and broken world. In the jarring silence, tune our ears to the silence of that first Easter Saturday, to hear the Father's silent lament for his only begotten Son. In the unfamiliarity of days like none of us have experienced before, tether our hearts to the hope of that first Easter Sunday morning, to know the shining glory of the resurrection of Christ. Lord of cross, grave and empty tomb, thank you for the reminder of another Easter so much like this one, and for how it resonates with reality in our situation today. See, Jesus meets us, risen from the tomb. Lovingly he greets us, scatters fear and gloom. Let the church of gladness hymns of triumph sing, for her Lord is living, death has lost its sting. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son, endless is the victory, thou o'er death has won. Amen.
Thank you to Joanna for leading us in prayer. Good morning, boys and girls, and could I wish you all a happy Easter? I know it's not Easter as we usually experience it. You can't go and see or play with your friends. You can't go round to your granny or granda's like you normally do. And maybe some of you were hoping to be away on holiday this Easter. But we're all at home this year. And yet there are still many things to be thankful to God for our homes, our parents, our food. We can give thanks for the internet. Boy, aren't we glad that we still have the internet. We can give thanks, hopefully, for good health. And of course, we're also thankful to God for watching over us and our families. And we thank him especially for the good news that we celebrate today. And I want to just quickly remind you of that good news. And to do that, I need you to go and get something. I need you to go and get an Easter egg if you have one. Ask your parents to pause me for a couple of moments if you need to. That's maybe one of the disadvantages about listening to the service. People can pause me or switch me off whenever they want. But go and get an Easter egg right now. Might well be that you don't have as many as you usually do, but hopefully you have at least one. And could I just say to you that there's one for all of you down in Railway Street, which we're keeping safe down there, and you'll be able to get when this lockdown is over. Maybe your parents have been letting you open your Easter eggs earlier this year. Normally we wait until today. I know some of the Easter eggs given out at the last night of BB never made it home. Some boys were already putting chocolate into their mouths as they were walking out the door. Have you got one? Good, so have I. Now what I want you to do is open up the box and take out the egg. Okay, just open up the box and take out the egg. And just have it in front of you. Now I want you to crack the egg open. I'll do that as well. And I'm guessing most, if not all, of your eggs are empty inside, just like the one that I have open in front of me. And that reminds us of what we celebrate today. What the women who went to Jesus' tomb early that morning found when they got there. That the tomb was empty. And the angel announced to them that Jesus had been raised from the dead. Now I want you just to sniff the chocolate. Doesn't that smell good? Smells very good. Now I want you to break off a piece of the chocolate and put it in your mouth, just like I'm going to do. How does that taste? Does it taste good? I'm sure it tastes very good. It tastes sweet. And it's great to enjoy that sweet taste of chocolate on Easter Sunday. In the Bible, in Psalm 34, we're told to taste and see that the Lord is good. And nowhere do we see and taste more clearly that the Lord is good than at Easter time, as we remember that God loved us so much that his Son, the Lord Jesus, died for our sins and rose again. That means our sins can be forgiven and death is defeated. We're offered forgiveness and new life when we trust in Jesus and follow him. The last thing I want you to do is to take that egg and offer some of it to someone else. Let them break off a little bit, share it with them. And let's remember that the good news of Easter is meant to be shared and enjoyed with others. Boys and girls, there are lots of people who are frightened and anxious at the moment because of this virus. And everyone needs to hear the good news that Jesus loves them, that he died for them, that he rose again, that he's alive today to give us forgiveness and new life. And that he's always with us and he never leaves us. Boys and girls, once again, I want to wish you happy Easter. I'm going to set this Easter egg out of temptation's way. You can stay and listen to me. That would be great. Or you can go and start on your activities from Beginners Church or Kids Church and Youth Church or Young People too of their own material to follow. Friends, there is a great difference between the days over the Easter weekend. Good Friday finds us quietly remembering and reflecting on Jesus' death for us, especially as we usually meet around the Lord's table and share in the bread and the wine symbolizing his body given for us and his blood shed for us. Easter Sunday, by contrast, is all about joy and celebration. We celebrate the new life and the new birth that comes through a belief in the reality of the resurrection. Then in between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, there's Saturday. Nothing happens on the Saturday. It can be a long day as we wait for the dawn of Easter. And some of us usually like to begin Easter as early as possible, literally at dawn as we meet together in Wallace Park. Then usually comes our family celebration in Railway Street at 10:30. This is the first Easter that we've never been able to meet with other believers to celebrate the joy of the resurrection of Jesus. And I'm sure we miss that. I miss that especially today. But it doesn't change in any way the importance of this day and the impact that its message brings to our world. I want us to note this Easter day, the difference between Saturday's children and Sunday's children. And as we come to do that together, we want to read from Mark chapter 15. We're going to read from verse 42 to the end of the chapter, and Stephen's going to read that for us.
It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So, as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid.
Thank you, Stephen, and we thank God for this reading from his word. I want us to think first of all about Saturday's children. The first child of Saturday that we meet today is Joseph of Arimathea. We first meet him on Good Friday evening, right after Jesus has died. And Mark tells us a little about this Joseph. He was a prominent member of the council who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God. He was one of the 70 members of the Jewish Sanhedrin. And the other gospels supplement our knowledge a little. Luke tells us that he was a good and upright man who had not consented to the Sanhedrin's decision and action. John tells us that Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jews. Sadly, it was this fear that rendered him, like the other disciples, a failure in the closing hours of Jesus' life. For though he'd not consented to the Sanhedrin's action, there's no evidence that he spoke up in Jesus' defense. However, after the death of Jesus, Joseph stood up and was counted as a disciple. Mark tells us Joseph went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. And this was a brave move because Pilate no doubt was still angry at having been manipulated by the Jewish leaders into having Jesus crucified in the first place. He could easily have refused and had Joseph punished for his boldness. In addition, by making this request, Joseph risk being expelled from the Sanhedrin for identifying himself with what they regarded as a false and failed Messiah. What's more, he, if his request was granted, would be dressing a dead body during the hours of preparation for the Sabbath. And according to the law, he would be ceremonially defiled. So this was an act of courage that came with great personal risk and potential cost for Joseph. It was even more impressive because there was absolutely nothing in it for him. Jesus was dead. and whatever hopes and dreams Joseph had for Jesus had died with him, or so it seemed. To Joseph's relief, Pilate agreed to his request, and so we read Joseph took some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. We know that Jesus died at around 3 p.m. on Friday. The Jewish Sabbath began at sundown on Friday. Presumably it was late afternoon when Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate seeking permission to take and bury Jesus' body. That meant there was little time for the body to be removed from the cross and then to be given a proper burial before the Sabbath began. The one thing that Joseph was not able to do was to anoint the body properly with spices and perfume, because he didn't have time before sunset. This makes Jesus' words about Mary's actions in Bethany all the more poignant now. For when she anointed Jesus' head with perfume, he had said, "She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare me for burial." Now we realise this was the only anointing that Jesus received. In the final verse of chapter 15, we encounter two more of Saturday's children. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. These women who had followed Jesus in life and in death had their own plans for how they wanted to honour their dead master. The Sabbath ended at sundown on the Saturday evening. At this point, they would have gone to purchase spices so that they would be ready to anoint Jesus' body on Sunday morning. Here again was love and deep devotion, but it was only the adoration of the dead Jesus. Friends, if we think the days can be long during this time of lockdown, in the days when we have the internet and TV and radio, imagine what it must have been like for the followers of Jesus trying to get through that first Saturday, the Sabbath between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. That Sabbath was a long and a dark day for all those who loved Jesus. For Joseph of Arimathea and Mary and the other women who had followed Jesus, as well as for the 11 disciples. All went through the deep despair that day as their lives and hopes had been crushed at the cross. And they were seemingly without a glimmer of hope. That Saturday was a day of desolation, of shattered dreams, a day of gloom and inertia. Imagine how it was for the disciples hiding out in that upper room for fear of the Jewish leaders, replaying the events of Friday over and over again in their mind, remembering their failure as they deserted Jesus in his hour of need. Think how it was for Jesus' mother, mourning the loss of her firstborn child. And just as Simeon had prophesied in the temple 38 years earlier, a sword had pierced her soul. Or think of Peter's paralyzing guilt as he replayed over and over again in his mind Jesus' words to him and then remembered his humiliating denial three times in that courtyard. Thinking, if only. That must have been a very long and grief-filled Saturday indeed. But maybe we don't have to imagine too hard, because the truth is all of us have experienced or will experience something of this feeling in our lives. The pain and sorrow of inconsolable loss. The paralyzing guilt that comes with failure. The regrets over what could have been if only we'd followed another path. Kent Hughes says, "The fact is there are more people living today in the despair and darkness of that dark Saturday than have ever lived in the drama of Friday or the victory of Easter." Ray Steadman says this, "Someone has called our present generation Saturday's children, and it's an apt term. Our great cities are for the most part teeming with pools of human misery where people live out their days in a kind of ritual dance towards death with hope or illusion. In the midst of an increasingly godless world, despair grips people's hearts everywhere. Hopelessness and meaninglessness come rushing in on us from every side. And friends, that hopelessness and despair is surely exacerbated at this current time. Surveys find that more than half of UK adults are very worried about COVID-19. Polling shows that the level of anxiety has been consistently high since the lockdown was announced back on the 23rd of March. Nearly one in four describe themselves as being the most worried ever. Without a knowledge of and a belief in the resurrection, we are all Saturday's children. We are stuck each day in an ever-repeating rut of hopelessness and fear. Friends, there are so many of Saturday's children in Lisburn and across our lands and our world today. Saturday's children. That was Saturday, but Sunday was coming. Let's read on in Mark's account as we come to Mark chapter 16, and let's read from the first verse.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid.
Thanks to Linda for that reading, and we thank God for his word to us. We've thought about Saturday's children. Secondly, we think about Sunday's children. We read in verse 2 of chapter 16 that very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. Someone has said, "Sorrow wakes early." The women's mission was to go and to wash Jesus' face and to anoint his head and his body with spices. And this impulse came from great love. Their action would be of little practical benefit, but it was what their hearts needed. And Mark notes that they had their fears as they made their way. They asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" Because they were so grief-stricken, it was only as they were on their way that they realized the flaw in their plan. How could they manage to move that large stone that covered the entrance? J.C. Ryle says that we should observe how the difficulties which we often fear will sometimes disappear as we approach them. The women were anxious about how they would move the stone, but their fears were needless, for when they got there, they saw that the stone had already been rolled away. Friends, how often are we weighed down by worries and fears of things that might happen? And yet in the time of need, we find the thing we feared removed and the stone rolled away. A large number of our anxieties and fears come from things which never happen. I remember at my first year at the Creef Fellowship in Scotland, listening as a humble retired Church of Scotland minister was asked to share some reflections on his ministry. And he said if he had it all to do again, there were some things that he would do differently. One of those was, he said, he would worry a lot less. because he said many of the things he worried about never happened. J.C. Ryle says we often carry tomorrow's troubles as well as today's, and often we find at the end that our doubts and fears were groundless, and the thing we dreaded most never came to pass. That's a reminder to us once again that when we're in God's hands, we don't need to give in to fear. We remember he is in control. He has it covered. He is always one step ahead of us. The women saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And their hearts began to pound. What had happened? Had someone stolen the body? What further indignities had the body of their crucified master suffered? Would they be denied this one last act of devotion? As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. That word translated alarmed in the Greek indicates strong fear and agitation. Here was feared the presence of this angelic visitor, and agitation at the fact that the body of Jesus was not there. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. He has risen" is just one word in the Greek. And yet this brief one word announces the greatest miracle that has ever taken place on earth. Every theory, ancient and modern, all the objections to the seemingly impossible idea of the resurrection are shattered by just one question. What became of Jesus' body? Even the most ardent skeptics today and Jesus' enemies back then do not deny that the tomb was empty. And so the question is, where was the body? The Jews clearly didn't know, for if they had it, they would have produced it very quickly to put a stop to any talk of the resurrection. The disciples did not have it, for if they did, it would have been psychologically and spiritually impossible for them to live the lives they then did. Fearlessly preaching the resurrection and dying as martyrs for a belief they consciously knew was untrue. So when someone says to you, "I don't believe in the resurrection," ask them, "What happened to the body of Jesus?" The body was gone because he had risen. "But go," the angel says, "tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." These words of the angel is the reminder that the resurrection of Jesus is good news for everyone. "Tell his disciples and Peter," especially Peter, the man who had just 2 days earlier repeatedly disowned Jesus. Here we see even that will not disqualify him from sharing in this good news. The offer of new life in and through Jesus is for the whosoever will. The whosoever will believe in him. And the invitation includes even those of us who have betrayed Jesus, who have denied Jesus in our words and actions. This news is for all who are listening this morning. Maybe you haven't been through the doors of the church for many years, but this good news is also for you, especially for you. These women had been Saturday's children a few moments before, depressed and despairing, filled with grief and sorrow. But now, after they got over their fear and got their heads around this message, they became Sunday's children. And when they told the disciples, including Peter, especially Peter, they all became Sunday's children. It was Sunday's children who took the gospel into the streets of Jerusalem, and then into Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In time, it was a child of Sunday called Patrick who brought the gospel to these shores. Sunday's children live in the historical, intellectual, and emotional reality of the resurrection. And next to the fact of the empty tomb and the witness of the scriptures, it is Sunday's children who form the greatest argument for the resurrection. Every Sunday as Christians meet to worship is now an implicit celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And while this Sunday, Easter, for the first time, our building is empty, so we remember is the tomb. And that message that he is risen has transformed life on this earth. The world at every point in history, and especially at the present time, needs a message of hope. A hope that is based on something much more substantial than wishful thinking. Our world needs a sure and certain hope, a hope that can really make a difference to our everyday lives. And as Sunday's children, we have it. Peter says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Friends, the question of whether there is anything beyond death has been conclusively answered by the one who is the resurrection and the life. Death is conquered. No longer is death something to be feared as the snuffing out of our existence. The power and curse of sin has been overcome through Jesus' atoning death on the cross. There is hope for this broken and hurting planet and all its fearful and suffering people. For Jesus is coming back again to make all things new. And in the meantime, he is with his people through the presence of his Holy Spirit in our lives and in his church. Friends, the fact that we are unable to meet together today does not in any way change or diminish the hope of this message. Nor does it change the command that is given to those who are Sunday's children. Our calling is still the same, to go and tell. How we have to do that Easter will be different. We cannot physically go and meet with others, but there are many ways of doing it. And there are already stories of how that message is being shared during this lockdown. And this year, more than ever, we will find that people are ready and willing to hear it. Friends, which day are you a child of? Are you one of Saturday's children? Do you live with the hopelessness and the pessimism of so many others in our world? Or are you one of Sunday's children? With our understanding and faith in this good news of hope, this news of new life. If you're still one of Saturday's children, all you need to do is to step forward one day and you become one of Sunday's children. You simply need to acknowledge your sin before Jesus. Believe that he died for those sins and that he rose again. Open your heart to him and receive him as your Lord and Savior, as the resurrection and the life, as the one who gives us new birth into a living hope. Leave the hopelessness that comes with being Saturday's children and come to find the life and joy that comes with being Sunday's children. Because of that truth, that he has risen. Let's join together in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the message of hope that we celebrate today through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We praise you for the difference this makes in our lives, that we live as children of hope, that we have a sure and certain hope, that we possess the hope of forgiveness, the hope of new life, life in all its fullness, now and eternal life to come. The hope of Jesus' presence with us from day to day in everything we face. The hope of Jesus' return and the knowledge that on that day he will wipe every tear from our eyes and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away, and he will make everything new. Lord, we know so many people today are living as Saturday's children, anxious and fearful without hope. We pray that you would help us as Sunday's children to share the reason for the hope that we have, and that you would be pleased through this pandemic to touch many lives with the person and power of Jesus Christ, that they too would become Sunday's children. Father God, through whose power Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, we commit to you this day those who need to know and experience the power of this message of good news most. Because the Son of Man came to seek and to save those that are lost, we pray that those who have lost loved ones and whose hearts are sad would know the comfort of Jesus surrounding them. For those who have lost their health and vitality, we pray that the healing power of Jesus would come upon them and raise them up. For those who today are caring for them, we pray for their safety and protection, and that you would renew their strength from day to day. For those who have lost livelihoods, may the sustaining power of Jesus lead them and provide for their needs. For those in our world who have lost their freedom for the sake of Christ, may the presence and grace of Jesus surround and sustain them. For all of us who have lost and wasted opportunities to serve you and speak for you, may the forgiveness cleanse and renew us. For any who have lost hope or faith along the journey, may the Spirit of the risen Christ reach and refresh their faith and love. Give to all of us a vision of Christ's risen glory, that we too may trust in his power, come what may, that we too may know that nothing can separate us from the love that you have for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. So may we rise up from any distress and despair in the present, our weariness of body, mind, or spirit, and take heart again and walk with Christ to do whatever lies in store for us. For we ask it in and through his powerful and exalted name. Risen Lord Jesus, roll away the stone of our doubts. Let us trust you. Roll away the stone of our reserve. Let us proclaim you. Roll away the stone of our heaviness of heart. Let us rejoice in you. Roll away the stone of our fear and let us find hope in you now and through all eternity. And let's say together, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and forevermore. Amen. Friends, could I wish you all a happy Easter and pray that you'll know God's presence and blessing upon you. Look forward to being able to see you all again soon. And don't forget, folks, before you leave this page, to go back and to click on that second link and there to listen to the words of that amazing Easter hymn and to join and singing it. Singing those wonderful words together, thine be the glory. God bless and hope to see you all soon.